If we look at that closely, we're beginning to see through the eyes of a master to a master, and what charmed miracles are really about. But first you've got to have the master who has the power to bring about timelines, you know. You know why? Because they've been them and they know how to do it. They are masters of their craft. Yes? We begin to see how this works now. From the same, getting up in that analogical moment, and either you're going to be on that timeline, or you're going to fall back on the one that you started with. That this miracle won't happen, because it's not in that timeline. It's in this timeline. Now, the art of pretense can be argued that this person's imagining they're healed. Well, I say if they get up and walk away, we got a real strong argument for imagination doth doeth here. Wouldn't you agree? Well, here is what it is. The imaging of that command so powerful that that person is now imaging the command, and they're now walking. So in a way, you could say they are pretending to walk. I lost you, didn't I? Let me try it this way. In other words, they're pretending they're walking because they were commanded to do so. Right? Now, what do you think will happen when they get outside the arena door and they start thinking about what just happened? To turn your neighbor and tell them what I just heard. Do you know what will happen? How many of you know the answer? They have two choices, don't they? So which timeline are they going to fall into or stay with? If they start thinking about it, what happens? They go back down. See? Now, was that hard? All right. So this one fine day in this great hall, and it was packed to the gillies with students. And we had something we called a Christ walk happen in this arena. And we practiced it out on the field. We did it. And you know, I'm the old-time Southern preacher out there squealing at these people. Well, to the glory of God, huh? Don't get me started. Teaching them to walk from one end of the field. Now, the field is a perfect place to do this because it's a holy place. It's holy ground in this school. And had them line up and then walk out. We kept walking people out sort of in a military fashion. Everyone was spaced properly. And this was their discipline this day. And I said to them, we're going to walk real slow, and I want you to find a point at the other end of the field, and I want you to put your eyes on that point, and I want you to move into a trance, and while doing so, I want you to no longer be you, but I want you to be Christ, and I want you to walk as Christ on this field. Wow. Well, you know, in some circles that would just be called collective blasphemy. But it was wonderful because it was a discipline, an art of becoming, an art of focusing the yellow brain, stilling it, moving into the midbrain, and the teacher commanding you to be Christ. It's the same thing that happened. Pick up your crutches and walk. Same principle, isn't it? How many of you agree so far? Well, we had to do that over and over a few times that day because we didn't have an altogether real serious student body at that time. But the workings and the magic of those that were serious amongst the flocks that were indifferent or grandstanding, amongst the flocks were jewels, gems of consciousness, beautiful people, that this was the only thing that was important in their life was the school and the learning in which they had dedicated themselves to. And so you could imagine what that looked like on that field. All 1,100 people stretched out, walking in a trance like Christ. Beautiful. For all of the insincere people, they got to walk that day and they got an opportunity to become a divine being, if they so choose to. So then we took it from the field and we brought it into the arena. And in the arena, I selected certain people and I wanted them to start at that end, underneath the blue star, and they were to put their focus under the end of the initiate star. And they had a few moments to put their hands up and blow away who they were. And then they had to take this walk slowly down the middle of this aisle, very slowly. And they had to be in this trance that they had to walk like a Christ, like a true master. We had some very profound things happen that day. How many of you recall it? Now, I saw in my student body such a rich potential for greatness that had, with so much work and so much inspiration, so much that bubbling towards the surface out of these common people, bubbling to the surface was greatness, real greatness. And no matter who that person had been in their private life, no matter how many voices they played off of, the composite of their personality, as it were, that day, what came to the surface was the son and daughter of God over and above the sons and daughter of men. And I saw a transformation in the possible in the school that quickened me with a feverish glee. And that day, this school and those students saw the power of pretense, that when we said so, now become Christ, it started out with the teaching pretend. But once you became what you started out to pretend, no one could ever go back and say, I pretended this. That isn't even a word that fits what I have become. Right? How many of you understand that? But to the uninitiated, it appears to be an excessiveness of imagination fired by wannabe. I don't care what you call it. If it can heal the sick and raise the dead and bring hope to the world, call it anything you want to. I call it the rightful isness of every human being. Is God-man realized? Indeed, God-woman realized? And that term, married together, means Christ to know. So, pretense then, to the uninitiated, seems to be, upon the surface, a quality that science would have a field day with. But in the school of ancient wisdom, in the process of becoming, we have to be as surely this thing as we are any other aspects of our personality that either is the little neural net glitch of happy or the little neural net glitch of unhappy, the little neural glitch of energy, the little neural glitch of no energy, the little jealousy glitch, the little envy glitch, the little whatever, all those emotions are these apertures that we switch into and where? At our convenience. That is a fundamental truth. Pretense, then, is following that same fundamental human rule and adding new characters to the cadre of possibility. And if we can add cadres of one's own power of pretending to be Christ, is it possible that a human being could be so transformed, starting out in pretense and at the end of the walk be a Christ? Absolutely. So, in a furthering, advancing initiation, the use of pretense on this side of becoming sounds silly, but that would only mean that you have a lack of real understanding in which we've endeavored to exchange ignorance for real knowledge on how the brain works, how the emotional body works, and we tie that in to the quantum physics of possibility, and we have a harmonic self that all we have to do now is to put into the mix a new possibility, and we start that on this side of becoming in a word called pretending. In other words, in order to be well, you have to get up and you have to pretend you are well, and you have to start being in that trance as a well person is. You may fumble, you may falter, you may have a little pain, but as you continue, the absolute analogical becoming then the body is functioning under a different power. You will be healed by the end of the room because you have walked into a new timeline. Turn to your partner and tell them what you have just learned. You may begin. So now, masters, what are you capable of becoming? What are you capable of becoming? All you need are the words or a prerequisite image. It's sort of like the cards, you know? What are you capable of becoming? And would all of that be all right with God? Always. Is that revelation? Is that illusion? It is if you haven't become. But once you have become, is it now illusion or is it truth? It's truth. Do you know what kind of ramifications what I've just said to you could have in your life? Do you know what kind of ramifications that you have access to, kind of possibilities you have access to, along with the knowledge and discipline to do them and do them effectively? And the only thing that is impossible is a closed mind. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. You can do anything. God doesn't make mistakes. Not an interpretation of humankind. There's only purposeful change into wisdom. God never made a mistake in human character. God never made a mistake in the design of people, in the design of species, anything. There is no mistake in life. There is only wisdom in life. No one's audience can say that we have to go to such extraordinary lengths to protect man against himself. No. Because God said we had to. No. God I love made no flaw. There is no such thing. That's the God I love. God I love didn't make a mistake in creating the body of a man. Didn't make a mistake in creating the body of a woman. Didn't make any mistakes in life cycles. None. None. The God I love. Truly the omnipotent one. Now, I wanted to share this little insight with you while waiting for everyone to gather together. and talk to plainly, as it were, plain as I can speak, about the fabulous possibilities that because some people's lights have grown dim, because they've backed off on what they know, doesn't mean that the heart of the school is dying. It should never mean that. That the richness of every precious word, every precious breath, by any and all, for however long they've been here, is one of the most dynamic, methodical, intrinsic studies of human nature and the redefinition of God as we grow wise there ever was. And because some have grown dead in their inspirations because the light has left them and is leaving them, does that mean that fabulous knowledge should die with them, should fade with them? And it doesn't mean that to the whole of you who are still inspired, who are filled with that rarefied, unique passion, who've gotten those answers about who are you, why are you here, what is the meaning of your life, and all those have been answered, and the process of answering still underway, experiencing those answers. This fabulous knowledge helps us to finally come to a precious and exciting moment in stacking up all that knowledge and then seeing how easily accessible in being that great knowledge of legendary great ones of renown are known to be and how they got it. It's in your midst, is in your power, and you have been given and are given, and break no rules, by the way, because the only rule in quantum physics is the observer. It's quite lawless, as it were. Like I always said, an opportunity to take the investment in this fabulous, fabulous, beautiful school and these fabulous words, fabulous teachings and disciplines, and use them to become the extraordinary. If the image has to start with pretense, the becoming will occur if true passion is there and intent. And the becoming brings with it its own timeline and its own treasure trove, and indeed its capacity of possibilities. Everyone here, everyone has same access. And that made me, of course, ponder. Ponder why, if it is so sublime, and it takes a few moments, once you make up your mind to become it, it isn't an effort. If you fight it, it'll be an effort. That why are all of these beautiful possibilities in a swept up into a pile on the floor of your mind and not being used. And I wonder what fabulous knowledge could absolutely be spoken over and above just what we have talked about, what I have taught you and you have discussed with your neighbor. What more fabulous knowledge could exist beyond that? Love. But that's pretty remarkable. That's pretty remarkable. And how and why do you get off, as it is said, in feeling sorry for yourself, feeling put upon, feeling betrayed? Do you know who has really betrayed you? You. By your complacency and your indifference to possibility, an affirmation to possibility, you have betrayed you. You are the one who gets to choose here, as we all do. And true awareness, when it is utilized, then you'll drink from that wellspring of wisdom for the rest of all of your eternal isness. You will drink from it. And how can we have pity for those who are given so much and refuse so much? Much, much, much is given. Why should the giving continue when there are no takers? Only collectors. Words, teachings don't make a wise person. You have betrayed yourselves. School hasn't let you down. Wine ceremonies didn't let you down. Foul talk didn't let you down. None of this let you down. You let you down. Because at any one moment, you could pick those hands up, get in that position, and blow yourself away, and then become, and to stop to become analogically, and then get up from that and walk in a new reality, a different reality. Any moment in the latrine, on the highway, in the back of the woods, on the river, every place is the right place. So be it. Much is given. Much is given. To dream of masters and contemplate greatness. To read of legends, ponder and wonder. To all that seems beyond the reach of our dreams. Let me say this. There is no thing that has been, or anything that shall be, that you cannot be, in God's kingdom.
God bless
my ability
to dream and become
from the Lord God of my being.
So be it.
Tonight. How many of you are just a little more clear right now? I mean, do you recognize in your bands how little different they are from when you came in here this night? So be it. How many of you beginners in Europe, in Australia, in Japan only saw me that 1.5 day I showed up? How many of you saw me on video? Raise your hands. I ain't talking to you. Beginners. Beginners. I don't know what we call that, but you remember when we were 3 years old and you came to beginning event. You remember you learned all those things and they saved me to the last because they knew they had to get in a lot of work before they showed their teacher. How many of you in your far memories remember your beginning event and I showed up and it was the wine ceremony? Yeah. Saw me live? Blessed are you who see me live. How many of you saw me on video? Come on, raise your hand. Hey, you know why I'm asking this question? Because you missed out on my great years in the school. I like it. I like it. Because this process of elimination happens right away in the beginning of it. My teachers, you know, they're esteemed, powerful. They're powerful. I mean, everybody under their tutelage finds cards. Under me, we're looking for magic number one. You know, there. Listen. I want you to write home, tell your families and friends about this, because it's true confession time, soap opera from Earth. You know, and there is some thought coming even from your channel. I mean, she thinks this. She wrings her hands. Sit there. You watch her. When she's in distress, look at her hands. It's all over her. And what is she in distress about? Why, hell, she's been channeling me since 1979. And we celebrated that great day. I appeared to her on February 18th, 1977. You can imagine a woman who's really... who skipped basically part of her golden, beautiful, wise life, channeling something that a whole society has knocked around and took great extremes to condemn and get rid of. But we're still here. Hell, I spoke to your parents and they're dead and gone. I spoke to you and you were children. Now you're parents. I mean, an icon as far back as you can remember. Really? It's your spiritual church. It's your spiritual Bible school. No, I don't like that so much. I think we'll trade Bible school in for bow tie. Obviously, I didn't come here to make friends. I came here to eliminate friends. Thank you, I'm worth it. So are you. And so they work really hard. And you know, they've never told anybody this, though they talk about it in their bed at night. Well, we have this agenda. And you know, we're really hot poop on a stick. We're taking people to God. They're all finding their card. Everybody understands their emotional body. I finally pulled their finger and pointed it to heaven. I mean, I did a good job. Well, you know, let's cut to the chase here. Let's tell it like it is. And you know, they have a problem. I want you all to know that they have a problem. Well, the truth is known, and I know it. And I'm telling. They did superb jobs. Everybody's in love with them. I mean, they want to go on the world tour because they meet new people. They impress them. It's a high. Well, you know what? Truth is a high. Can we sustain it? And they did a superb job. Now, here's the problem. Me. Oh, God. Still think you ought to get rid of me? No. I'm a one of a kind. So I come out there. I mean, I might as well be a big camel unloading. I said it. It's my truth. I can handle it. Can you handle it? Can you know the truth about yourself and still laugh? I can handle it. I can handle the truth. Baby, can you go with the bowels of me and the truth? Can you still laugh? I don't think so. Now, why do you think I do that? Come out there. You know, I take that breath there. And I mean, I had more fun in Italy than I can tell you. And they edited it out. A few people whose religion is to swallow air instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Nearer to God. Alright, this is all true story, and I have nothing to hide in the light. So I came out there drinking my wine so fine with Jimi Hendrix playing in the background. Seattle's finest. Hey, Joe! You think Italy ever really appreciated Jimi Hendrix in a New Age teaching? That blew the head off of Sai Baba and Breatharians. I already knew the collateral damage I would have, and I still did it. So where was I? Oh yeah. Ain't it so? Dreaded me coming out. As I come out like the Kundalini. Marching and blowing and throwing roast chickens at the breath area. And the sexiest woman in the world that everyone went, oh. I threw a salami, hit her in the eye, and I said, hallelujah, brother. Have you seen the glory at the coming of the Lord? It's a true story, and it is from my perspective. In truth, they would rather I didn't show. So I didn't anymore. Why do you think that's bad? I think it's wonderful. Because I want to create a reputation. And I want to take all that goody two-shoe stuff. And I wanted to say to all those sinners in my audience, and they're all hypocrites, every single one of them, layered with propidity. I don't know if that's a word, but propidity. He's going to talk about an emotional body, honey. They ain't never had an emotional storm till I come out and I talk to them. Well, this is how it is for all of you little entities that are here tonight. Because I think that you know, all that garbage I told you about is done in the name of God. You know, all of that searching. You start going through different religious thoughts. You start going through them searching. And nothing ever feels right to you. And I think the only thing that ever would feel right to you is if you were called on your hypocrisy. And I represented all the things that you really wanted to be, and you really would say, and you really would do. And you could be as free, instead of holier now, instead of some unfortunate creature struggling so hard, you know, to touch God. And whatever vernacular has been taught to you, my job is to destroy all hope in the superficial. And I did. And we lost a lot of students. Good. Not good for the school, but good for me. Because I'm not going to about to proselytize and be like any guru and any preacher and any teacher. Take scraps of knowledge, and it's like I asked you the other night, you know. I asked you this question, and you know, I never say anything without probable cause of suspicion. And I said to you, how would you size up as a teacher using your will? How many people would suffer under your will? And I think that's a great question. Because, you know, you would teach people exactly to what you want to be celebrated as. But over time, you'd be revealed. people who don't like men, men who don't like women, people who need a lot of power and often feel good. A lot of abuse, you know, that's always happened. Are you running with me free yet? No, yeah, well, oh. So I come out there, and I intentionally, I mean, listen, I mean, my daughter is not an alcoholic. She doesn't drink. She doesn't even think that it tastes good. She thinks milk is good. That's great. She's got powerful bones and powerful muscles. She's not a person that likes alcohol. I happen to love wine. It's just attitude. Controlling a body that's not used to alcohol. All right. So I make everyone uncomfortable, including my daughter, including her escorts, including Blue Body, including everybody, including the teachers. Everybody. That's good. I make them uncomfortable, and I'm going to teach truth. So, you know, I come out there, we get that audience loose, and I tell them the truth. I'm not going to tell them anything they're not going to have and they die. I'm telling them what they are. I'm not crooning for worship. I'm here to do the work of the God that I love. It's an unlimited God. Unlimited God. God that has saw no wrong and never made a mistake. Never made a mistake. We wear clothes to warm our bodies. And through the time, we've lost our body hair. Today, it's fashionable to remove any body hair except the stuff on your head, which to me is a nuisance. I like to talk about a God, no matter if I can find the basic human, if I can find the basic person without any cover-ups, with a through wine, laughter, or hellfire and brimstone, I'll do it until, and if I don't, if I have to pick up a chicken, throw it at someone. You know, explanation points look good on paper, but I think fried chicken looks better in your face. Why am I doing that? Because all this syrupy teachings has to have a primal basis that God is not ashamed of. You think God is ashamed of me? People are ashamed of me, but my God is not ashamed of me. You know how many people want to be free? But from that tragic, from Scotland all the way to Italy, a tragic time, all the way to Japan. I mean, I had a blast in Japan. I've never been invited back, but I had a wonderful time in Japan. I mean, I even took a magic marker and made lipstick in front of those manly men. Classic moment in Japan. Fond memories. What was it about? find that ultra basicness of human need and human expression. Get rid of all the fluff and all the wrapping paper and all of the designer clothes and all of the diets. And get right down to basic human nature. Show them what they look like. Show them that God loves them. I don't care. I can drink almost all of whatever almost is presented to me, almost. And I like it because I'm proving to you I'm still Ramtha. It's beautiful. And I'm showing to you, what do we look like when we're death and in the gutter? Do we have a consternation of spirit that's transcendent? Yes, we all do. And as long as little mouth still work, I'll continue to talk to you because I want to make a point to you. We are more than our body. We should never hold our body responsible for our closeness to God. Now, you may say that's a crude way of teaching God to foreigners, but I think that the American vernacular of God is such a straight-laced, narrow-minded approach that it adds to future annihilations of people because they don't believe. And if they're not annihilated by the sword, they are politically destroyed. I want to ask you a question. I've done a lot of miracles in the school quietly. Some of you witnessed them. I always hold back because my objective is you, not me, you. And I expend all my efforts in the life of this woman on inspiring you to be great. And every once in a while, I blub, and a wonderful thing happens. The doors open, you know, sound systems go out, spaceships fly overhead. Well, I mess up, because I don't want any of these things to happen. I never did, because I want you to happen. I always did. So here's what you got to ask yourself. So why in Scotland and France and in Italy and in Spain and in Japan and in Australia, why didn't I perform one of these miracles and just convince everyone? Do you really think they'd be convinced? It's not my objective. My objective is to find you. Find you. So, are we still on, or do you want me to go? No. Your will, what do you want me to do? I'm your guest speaker. Goes back to that historical European conflict, you know, about God and the priests that speak to God and then tell everybody else. How whole geopolitical system was built upon that, and the caste system too was built on that, by the way. Well, I never believed in any of those things in my lifetime, and I don't think I'm going to start now. I ascended on what I knew, not what I regretted. I don't regret anything. However, I would have laughed a lot more on the rock. But that's neither here nor there. So, just for your information, So I went out there and I had it all set up and I was going to intimidate everybody. And you know I could do that. You know I could. That's good. Because I wanted to embarrass them right out of their hypocrisy to the basic of their own human spirit. And in the end, they loved me. They didn't love me to try to convert them. They loved me for tear a chicken a piece or a joint a piece and throw you the rest of it and still teach you better than any guru has on you on a diet. And I did it to get rid of all the trappings and all of the misnomers about one spiritual journey. We should never say we're on a spiritual journey. We should wake up every morning and that life is the spiritual journey. There's nothing separate from life about spirituality. It's how we live our life. The greatest prayer is not what we say, but how we live. Our prayers are never answered unless we're willing to change the way we live. It's called analogical life. So, I embarrassed them. They love being teachers. I understand why, totally. Understand the power is to bring people who want to learn. But their job is not to be like me. My job is to be like me. And I know best how to be like you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them what you just learned. So in a great display of tactical maneuver, I issued absolution. Do you know what that means? Freedom. All right, so some of you saw that. Some of you witnessed that in your beginning event, and some of you saw it on tape. If the truth was ever known about you, you wouldn't be looking for pieces of the puzzle, because you're playing a game, and now I know that you know. Can we go on with this? And if I can make it really crass, you'll know that your God knows too. And so, none of those silly questions, what's the block standing in the way of my manifestation? I mean, I don't think you really want to ask me that question, because I may embarrass you. That block may come down to, may come down to that you masturbate that instead of making love to your husband, you're making love to other women. I mean, do you really want that to come out in front of your husband? I mean, I think you ought to think before you ask me a question. That's the driving force in your life. And you're ignoring of it, protecting it like some sacred golden cow, and then dealing with its backwash out here. You're looking to point fingers over here and over there. But we found the source of the river. And it's from you. It's from your decadence. How am I going to ever teach that? And giving people the permission to get right down on you and say, you know what? You hide behind that holier than thou mask, but I know who you are. And I don't think you ever want to sit close to me. And I don't think you ever want to haphazardly sit up here next to me and have my eyes fall on you when I'm feeling a little frisky. Because I know that's what I've been up against. And how am I going to ever move an enlightened audience to enlightenment till I can shine a light into the real engines behind your life? I can take the flack, I can take the heat. I wasn't here for popularity, unlike you, who are worried about what people say. I don't care what people say. In fact, I analyze what they say. I send the runners. They don't dictate the glory of God to me. My God, what I've seen, Jesus Christ, think of what I've seen. And do you think a social group's criticism is going to somehow hamper my outrageousness? I don't think so. You ain't got me anything better to offer me. I already know who you are. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think when you look at your teacher, you ever put yourself behind those eyes and look back at you and what I must see? Lots. Makes your ass sweat, doesn't it? Makes my neck sweat. My ears too, right behind here. Just a little swelling. Now, who's ever going to tell you that? They're going to save you from that. Well, it isn't what our God's about. And you know, I can tell you straight away, your God still loves you and already knows all that about you. Sad thing is, do we waste the gift of life by undermining it? Such thoughts. I mean, I give you the choice. I gave every one of my audiences the choice to make. God's never judged you. I tell them that flat out. Well, if God's never judged you, why are you judging me? What do you know about me? I bet what I know about you is more than what you know about me. Want to try? I've had no volunteers. Do I still think you're beautiful when you have the silent engine running, you know, silent service? Yeah, I do. I always want you to know that. I think the most wicked of people are beautiful. Because that's what God thinks about you. But I don't want you to ever get on your highfalutin chair, cross your arms, and think you're some saint, because you're not. I know it, and now you know I know it. What was it I just said? I know it, and I know we knew it together. That's what it was. Do I have to work around that? Yeah, I do. That's the reason sometimes I throw out a lot of opportunities to you, and I always endeavor to ignore the ones that you fantasize about the most, and I always protect people from you in doing that. Turn to your neighbor and explain. Ooh, was that a heavy session? I don't think so. I think it's real simple. I love you. Always will. Always will. So I suppose what I'm saying